This Shabbos, we'll be beginning Sefer Shmos with the reading of Parsha Shmos. And one would think that with the emergence onto the world scene of Moshe Rabbeinu, that we would have a wealth of information, of background, of who Moshe Rabbeinu was. And while it is true that we are told about his birth, about, of course, his hiding onto the river, describing a little bit the sense of the majestic nature of his birth, what is also true is that we're given almost no details of what happened between his birth and his emergence as a leader. There's no biographical information. There's nothing that speaks about who he was, what he was feeling, his consciousness of his identity, of his birth, and all of those things, to some degree, the tantalizing details that we'd be interested in, to sort of know the story behind the story, so to speak, is left out. And there's really only one word that we have in the Torah, or one phrase, that gives us a little bit of a sense of transformation of Moshe Rabbeinu, of being a prince, somebody growing up in the Armon, in the palace, to what became later. And that's found, of course, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayhi Bayamim Haheim, it was in those days, Vayigdal Moshe grew up. And the word vayigdal usually implies both a actual physical maturation as well as an emotional and psychological maturation. Vayetze el echav, he went out to his brethren. Vayar b'sivlosam, he saw their suffering and their pain. Vayar ish mitzri, make ish ivri, me'chav. And in that same pasuk it tells us that he saw an Egyptian smiting or hitting a Jew. And as a side note, because the machlokes, what exactly was the nature of this makeh? Did the Egyptian kill the Jew? In which case, Moshe's response of killing the Egyptian would seem to be clearly justified. Did the Egyptian just smite the Jew? In which case, what allowed Moshe to kill the Mitzri afterwards? But either way, in this pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we're told in these few words about the transformation of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the word that the Rishonim and the Acharonim really pick up on is the word Vayar. He saw Vayar b'sivlosam. And the word Vayar of seeing clearly does not describe just a physical sight, just the ability to have seen, but it really describes much more than that. And I want to take the opportunity the next few minutes to discuss a little bit these few words and various facets of this description of Vayar b'sivlosam. Three different connected but separate points. One point is highlighted by the Ibn Ezra, and it's consistent with the Ibn Ezra's thoughts throughout Sefer Shmos. And the Ibn Ezra said that it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to come and to lead and to see Vayar b'sivlosam and to take action based on that sight or that vision could only have come because of Moshe Rabbeinu's upbringing in the palace. Moshe Rabbeinu's education, his regal bearing, his royal background allowed him to develop leadership skills. Moshe Rabbeinu being an outsider instead of just another slave allowed the Avadim, the Jews, to actually follow him and respect him and listen to him because of who he was and where he was coming from. And lastly, and maybe most importantly, Moshe Rabbeinu growing up not as an Eved, not as a slave, not being brought up in that reality, allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to have the confidence and the strength to step forward, to to smite that Mitzri, to step forward into a position of leadership. And only a person that didn't grow up shackled by Abdus, only a person who grew up with a sense of confidence about themselves, could then step into a leadership position, only step into a position of strength. And there's great chachma in this idea of the Ibn Ezra. As a leader, as a parent, as anybody in this world, a person needs that sense of confidence, a person needs to have a certain presence, they need to not feel encumbered a little bit by the limitations of other surroundings. And only that position of Moshe Rabbeinu allowed him to be in a position of leadership. That's point number one. Point number two is a comment that's made by many of the Baalei Mussar about this pasuk, and specifically about Rashi. Rashi says again, "Vayida Moshe vayetzel lechav vayar b'sivlo sam." And Rashi here in pasuk Yud Aleph comments, "Vayar b'sivlo sam," and I quote Rashi, "Nosan einav," he placed his eyes, the libo and his heart, "lios meitzar aleihem," to be concerned or to be agonized over them. Now the diuk in Rashi, those who are listening, seems to be clear. Nosan einav the libo, lios meitzar lehem. He placed his eyes and he placed his heart on them to take action. The Maharal comments, I'll read the line of the Maharal. Maharal says, the imlo kein, if it wasn't for the fact that he placed his eyes, the chikvar lo ra'a osam osim malacham, Shahari Gadol Hayakvar. Namely, that Moshe Rabbeinu had seen them already. What do you mean Vayar B'Sivosab? Moshe Rabbeinu did not grow up in a bubble. He didn't grow up disconnected. He had seen them already, probably as a teenager, probably as a young adult. He had seen people suffering already. The difference now, and we're not sure why, was the Nosan Einav V'Libo. He placed his eyes and he placed his heart onto the suffering of his people, the Meitzar Lehem, and he suffered along with them, or he agonized along with them. The Baalei Mussar point out how significant this Maharal, how significant this Rashi is. The idea that a person, even if they have a good heart, even if they have natural compassion, even if they have a good upbringing, they have all the natural midos to be a person who's about chesed, to be a person who leaves an impact. That can't happen, even with the best of one's character, until the nosan, until a person makes a conscious decision of how to act, of how to react, and of how to feel, that those kochos can be latent, until a person is the nosan, a person has a certain clarity, a certain hisbonanus, a certain concentration. It's not enough to have a good heart, but a person needs to be able to apply, and a person needs to be able to focus both on themselves and on others. And just to go through life with a good heart and a good feeling, but without the ability to focus on the task at hand and what needs to be accomplished, and to really see and really vayar and really connect with other people, until that happens, a person is always going to stand at a distance. A person is always going to be slightly removed. Until a person zeroes in on themselves and on another person, and to really see and to really feel, and that's truly the meaning of real empathy. Many people in the world are nice people, and if you go to them and you ask them for money or for help, they'll do it. But that's not necessarily the means of empathy. Empathy is zeroing in on another person on one's own, without being approached and without, but just to really be able to, again, zero in on another person's life. And that's what Rashi means. The Nosan Einav V'Libo. He placed his eyes and his heart to another person. There's another quality that I want to highlight about this pasuk of Vayetzel Achav, Vayar B'Sivul Asam. And that's namely the fact, and I guess this is obvious, that what the Torah is highlighting by Moshe Rabbeinu is not just that he saw him, but he saw him and he was willing to act. And that was so much a part of who Moshe Rabbeinu was. We know the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu, as a shepherd, had such compassion on his sheep, and not just compassion, but was willing to act on that compassion, willing to pick up a sheep and bring a sheep to water and have compassion over it, willing, as we saw by the case of the sneh, by the burning bush that he says that he saw, by Yesor, and he moved over to go take a look at what was happening. And the Sforno points out, the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just see the burning bush from a distance and wonder, but he acted on that, and he moved towards that. And Moshe Rabbeinu, for as much of a person of his humility and his initial resistance towards being a leader and his hesitation about his speaking skills and who was he and was he going to be effective, in essence, he was a person that could see and that he could react. And when we understand that, we understand that the Torah in reality is giving us a wealth of biographical information about Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in the next 8, 9, 10 psukim of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, again, the Torah is very sparse. It gives us very little. Certain places and certain psukim will go on and on in details about Binyan HaMishkan or other events. Here, it's very little, but in a way, it's very descriptive. Because in the next 10 psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Mitzri who was persecuting the Jew, and he killed the Mitzri. And then in the next pasuk, he saw two Jews who were fighting in an altercation, and Moshe Rabbeinu stepped forward to resolve in some way that altercation. And then lastly, a few psukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Midian. He sees the ro'im, he sees the shepherds who were bothering the daughters of Yisro, and again, he stepped forward and he helped them and he filled the buckets with water. And it's pointed out by the Mefarshim that all three of these cases are significant. If all we had was the first case of the Mitzri who was persecuting the Jew, so you can say that Moshe Rabbeinu had some sense of his own identity of being a Jew and therefore stepped in to protect Echav, his brethren. In the next case, in a fight between two Jews, one could say, okay, in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu stepped forward because he was feeling so, for lack of a better word, devastated or frustrated by what had become of his nation, of this nation of who should have been this Mamlechas Kohanim, but now diminished to slaves and fighting with each other and arguing with each other. And Moshe Rabbeinu stepped in that case. But that's why we need the third example, the non-Jewish Ro'im coming to persecute and to bother the non-Jewish daughters of Midian. And even in that case, Moshe Rabbeinu's natural empathy, midas hachesed, midah of a sense of justice, came to the fore, and Moshe Rabbeinu acted on those feelings. And that's something that is so significant and probably the most significant point of Moshe Rabbeinu's character. We're told very little, but what we're told indicates a person who, A, Bayar, he saw, and B, he moved forward. This life of Moshe Rabbeinu and these few psukim establish such an unbelievable example for any person today, thousands of years after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, a person who can see deeply see, nasan einav velibo, and also be a person who can act. And to find that person is a rare combination. Many people in the world are people of deep empathy, but they're not really people of action. Many people can act and can build and are competent and are people of ma'asem, but there's something missing in their heart and their ability to be nasan einav velibo. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness was his ability to have both. To be a person who, because of his birth, had natural leadership abilities, but integrated into that was the personality of the empath, and on top of that, the person of action. And that's truly Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, and all of that done in the context and in the package of a person who is truly modest, who saw himself, which is really the midah anivus, as a person who is simply there to fulfill a mission, who's a vessel for the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. All of these midos establish a picture of greatness that changed the world and continue to change us, to impact us and to inspire us thousands of years later. It should be in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu and the many great leaders afterwards, people of empathy and people of talent, people of action, that we ourselves should continue to grow and walk in the beautiful footsteps left by our wonderful forebears. Have a good Shabbos.